Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, Journal World sports editor. One day after Ben McLemore went down with an ankle injury that had everybody kind of holding their breaths at the Fieldhouse, we're going to talk today about what KU does if Ben McLemore has to miss some time. What are their options? What angles can they take? And, you know, maybe he won't miss any time. But, Tom, what's your first thought when you saw McLemore go down?
Well, my first thought was, good, he's grabbing his ankle and not his knee.
Good
so
call.
Right off the bat, you feel good about that. It was clear he was in intense pain. Oh. I mean, just intense pain. But that doesn't necessarily equate with the extent of the injury when it comes to an ankle, you know? And who knows how many times he's had ankle injuries. That could be it, too, because the first time you do twist an ankle, the pain is like nothing you've experienced.
I thought that was really interesting that Elijah Johnson, the veteran, the senior, the leader on this team, kind of said exactly what you just said. He said he thought part of that writhing in pain moment for McLemore was just a little bit of panic. Like, how hurt am I? How bad is this thing? You know, for a kid with everything in the world ahead of him, you know, potential lottery pick, potential top pick, all that money that comes with that, I'm sure some of those things were going through his head if this thing is really serious. And like you said, if the pain felt as bad as it can, probably everyone listening has twisted an ankle at some time. It sucks. So I'm sure that was all of it. But definitely good to hear that it's not that serious. And you know, he's going to get better treatment than anybody.
Yeah, he's going to get great treatment. But that was just Self's initial read. But they did call it a
grade one. Yeah.
So that, you know, the medical people looked at it and said it. So it is good to hear that, you know, I would think we'll be there playing on Saturday.
Yeah, well, let's talk about if he isn't. You know, there's it's all about how the ankle responds to treatment, how quickly he can get back, all that. Let's say he's not able to go on Saturday against Texas. What are KU's options? What's the number one option, do you think? What do they do right away, especially with the starting lineup?
I think the number one option would be to have Tharp start in his place. The more fun option, I think, for us, and it's always so hard to separate what the better story from what's better for the team,
right,
but you have to do that.
Well, we think of us, they
right.
think of them.
Exactly. So to put my thinking cap on, pretending to find out what Bill Self is thinking, I would think he would go with Tharp, but I would like to see, for story's sake and just for curiosity's sake, what Andrew White III would do if he were in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. He's had moments, not many, but moments. You know, he had the one big game where, what do you have, 15, 17 points, something like that?
15 points in 10 minutes.
Yeah. So certainly, you know, lesser competition when he did that, but he's been out there and he's done it, and it would be interesting. He fits the mold more in terms of body size, body type, you know, could help on the glass way more than a guy like Tharp can. But I'm with you. I think Tharp would be the obvious answer. We've seen Tharp and Elijah out there together a lot as is, and that's with a healthy McLemore. So I have to think that's probably what would happen. But, you know, Tharp's been getting a good chunk of minutes anyway.
Right. So you would see more of Andrew White.
Yeah, you have to think somebody else has to pick up a few minutes, and it would probably be White. What about Onrio Adams? He obviously hasn't earned much trust. They don't want to put him out there for whatever reason, probably a lot of what they're seeing in practice. Everyone wants to see the games, and, you know, why isn't he getting a chance? But he gets a chance every day in practice. He's obviously not doing anything with that chance, or doing enough.
My guess would be that because he's such a talented guy who had so much success at times in high school, that he's probably swinging for the fences, and they're trying to get him to hit the other way.
There you go.
Great
analogy.
Because a freshman can't be swinging for the fences on this team.
Right.
Unless it's Ben McLemore.
Right.
Unless it's that kind of a talent. So, but you would, it would be an opportunity, certainly, for him to get a little more playing time as well, and again, be curious to see how he would do with that, because he certainly is, for a guy his size, pretty good size for a guard, pretty thick for a freshman, he's real quick.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, early in the season, it looked like he might have a place as a defender, you know, just because of how quick he was and how much he worked, but hasn't really worked his way into the rotation yet. We've talked now about the minutes and how maybe that might stack up, but obviously the scoring is there too. You're not going to ask Nadir Tharp to score as much as Ben McLemore. You're not going to ask Andrew White even to score as much as Ben McLemore.
Yeah, you know, you want
he could.
To, yeah, and it'd be interesting to see Andrew White if he's got a sweat going. You know, he starts and he gets up and down the court a few times. then he hits his first two shots.
Right.
Then what? You know, right. Then it'd be a real good night for him, probably.
Definitely. Where can they go for scoring if it isn't those two guys, though? I mean, does it fall more on Elijah? Does it fall more on Jeff Withey? You know, because you're not talking about 25 points a game, but you're talking about your go-to guy, your number one scorer. And
I'll tell you who's coming on as a, maybe not as a scorer, but as a guy who's getting more shots off and more creating more scoring opportunities for himself is Perry Ellis.
Yeah.
He's missing a lot of those right now, but that's natural for a freshman. The next step is making them. You know, the first step is figuring out how to get them, and the second step is making them. And you're figuring out at what speed you can get away with because you tend to rush these guys who are freshmen. You see their shooting percentages just rise throughout their careers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Again, with all the depth that this team has, we've talked about it from the preseason on.
Young depth, though.
Yeah, it is, but it gives you options, and I think you've written a column about that.
Versatility, yeah. Yeah. He always has flexibility on his roster.
I mean, you could see a scenario where a lineup is you know, Nadir and Elijah with Relaford at the three, Perry at the four even, and then you have Withey or Young even in there. So the options, you know, maybe this is as good a time as any to have this happen. This team can't hurt itself by finding out what to do if McLemore can't go, whether that's because of injury or because of foul trouble down the road. You never know. So it can't hurt him. There's no doubt about that.
You know, and the way McLemore got up and stuff, I was encouraged that it wasn't going to be too bad. And in fact, at that point in the game, I was more concerned about Joe Dooley's health because of the – I was afraid he was going to have a stroke because of the way Nadir Tharp was playing. I mean, Tharp – has really come a long way and has had some terrific games, but last night was just one bad decision after another.
Yeah.
And I think Joe's probably at Weaver's right now buying a new pair of shoes because he stomped the floor so many times watching Tharp. It just was really pretty entertaining to watch because, you know, Joe is an intense, intense guy.
Right.
And Mark Potts remembers him as our new leader in the newsroom, remembers him playing at George Washington, because Potts is a George Washington graduate. And Bill Raftery remembers Joe Dooley and talked about him on the air once as a great leaper.
Wow.
And he looks like a leaper.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, but he stayed seated, thank God. but, you know, he's probably got some ankle issues after stomping the floor the way he did last night.
Well, whether McLemore's back in the lineup Saturday or not remains to be seen. Let's now say that he is. How long do you think until he can be him again? You know, because it may only take 2 or 3 days before he can return to action and actually be playing and running and all that stuff. But surely with an injury like that, he's not going to just automatically turn into the same guy. So we're talking 3-4 games before he's himself again? Or
You never know. It depends how bad the ankle is, but he could be right away. As soon as he gets a sweat going, he's in the game and he forgets that he was hurt.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they'll obviously treat it, tape it, take care of it. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, with this team, that thing is as interesting right now as the competition stacks up in the Big 12. You know, Iowa State was a scare, certainly, but Baylor, if they're one of the top teams in the league besides Kansas, not much there. So.
It's still a tough call on who's the second best team. I thought it was Oklahoma State. And man, so far that's looking like another one of my horrible predictions.
Yeah, that.
And K-State's played better than anyone else. Iowa State would be the next in terms of how they play.
Right.
Oklahoma's better than I thought.
Evidently.
I mean, so that 2 through 7?
I'm
going to say 7. Yeah, those 3 tech schools that start with Texas. Texas Christian, Texas Tech, and Texas.
Yeah.
Would be out of the, Texas being the clear-cut 8th, and
top
then
of those three,
Texas
right, yeah.
Tech, then TCU. But 2 through 7, you could almost make a case that they could go in any order.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at West Virginia against K-State, right down to the wire there.
Right. And you know, West Virginia would probably be the one you'd pick for 6th.
Or 7th, yeah.
6th,
agreed.
7th, yeah.
But there's your point.
Maybe not.
I mean, they took K-State right down to it. So,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, and that stuff will figure itself out probably all the way down to the wire for all of those spots. You know, those 3 other buys for the first round of that tournament could be really interesting to see how that plays out. So, anyway, that's all. We just wanted to kind of look at things with regard to McLemore. Any final thoughts on the injury or where they go from here with him?
You know, he's a precious commodity. They're not going to take any chances, but
good point.
Doesn't sound too serious.
Good point. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for joining us on the Spodcasters. We'll be back again sometime soon. For Tom and Matt, thanks for listening and have a great day.